Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This is Paul Hawksby
and Andy Jacobs.
And welcome once again to the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, of course, we covered some ground. We talked a bit about the football last night. Thomas Tuchel's outfit tuckled us, didn't it?
It did. We covered a lot of ground, I think, you'll find, because I think at one point a guest dropped off.
A guest. So James De Gale threw a strop and
he didn't want to do it.
Decided he didn't want to talk to anybody on the radio. But anyway, these things happen. That's showbiz. Yes. So there we are, a little peek behind the mirror there for you. A little extra of what went on this afternoon. Also this afternoon, we were joined by John Mullock, from
John
Mullock's Auctioneers, who was selling, who has indeed sold a 200-year-old golf ball. Yeah. And no one knows more about antique golf balls than John Mullock.
That's very true.
As you'll discover.
And now you will.
And now, you won't need to ask another question about it.
No, it was better than it sounds.
No, it was good. He was great. He was really good.
Tim Vickery was good. A bit more serious than usual, but he was good.
But he was fantastic, as he always is. So this is this afternoon.
Important after that second goal went in last night, the phone call from Manchester to North London. I was telling you, hello, Daniel, Ed Woodward here. Yeah. How much is that buyout clause?
Which is completely wrong, as we will go on to in a few moments with United We Stand's Andy Mitten, because a bit of balance, please, everybody. We'll come back to that later.
Oh, we have to have that. And I must say that Di Maria, you know, was really struggling in the first half, but he showed what a Mazzala he is in the second half.
Thank you very much.
I thought
he'd be a touch more subtle. I mean, really, it would have had more impact if you'd given it about half an hour.
Sounds very Jewish, though, doesn't it? Mezzala. I don't know why.
Yeah, you can go and get some mezzalas. Can't eat them at the moment.
No, that's
be the official
time of the
ones.
Year.
What else?
But he played well in the second half. He really did. And so, you know, I think the shoving of him into the stand kind of almost
got him going.
And I've always thought that about Old Trafford. It's a bit dangerous the way it drops away, especially during the Rugby League, the grand final.
You always think,
I don't know, I hope there's not a horrible injury.
They cross the trial and they're basically into the crowd, aren't
I know,
they?
It's really, really dodgy. Good one for you, though, from the Court Circular, because we'll come on to United, as you say, we're going to talk about them in a minute. The Court Circular in the Times today, it's a football one. You'll like this, Paul, especially for you.
Yeah.
The Duke of Cambridge, president of the Football Association, this morning received Mr. Harry Kane, brackets footballer.
Received him.
That's what it says. Received Mr. Harry Kane.
Really?
Footballer. Ah. And I don't know if he asked him to join Villa on loan for the rest of the season. He probably did.
Imagine if he started to pull rank.
It'd
be fantastic. Suddenly, Villa on loan. They all went there. All Sergio Aguero. Just using his power at the FA to get them all in.
Why not?
Yeah. Wonder what they talked about. What's the touchstones, you think, between H... Hyams Park's finest and Duke of
I imagine Cambridge. They talked last summer about, you know, and he was saying, I wish I could have gone, but they wouldn't let me go. I bet he was disappointed, you know, that he couldn't. Not Harry, he was there, but the Prince of Wales.
It'd be great William, of course.
No, he's not the Prince of Wales.
William we're talking about. His dad's the Prince of Wales.
He will be the Prince of Wales one day, but not yet.
Wish the bloke's life away.
No, obviously.
Where was I? Yeah, he's saying, oh, I remember Charlie Chan's used to go there. I used to under Walthamstow dog track, probably before your time.
Do you think that's what he said to him?
I think Harry might have gone Charlie Chan's. Probably not William. I don't think that was really his
William
scene.
And Harry? That must be good,
Yeah, that's true. Thomas Tuchel's outfit. What is outfit of choice? Every game, Thomas Tuchel, the manager of PSG, goes for that look. The very, very tight, short, hooded puffer jacket.
The plainest of plain.
Yeah.
Puffer. I mean, you can
it's
certainly
not
say
even
it's
a club
black
badge on it.
No, it's
I mean,
plain.
It's black.
It's utterly plain.
You can't get more black than that. Ask yourself how much. None.
Black trousers.
Black trousers, black shoes, black socks. Is he. Look, I'll put it out there. Is he a housebreaker?
I just or a asked, deliverer of milk tray.
I just asked no the question. Idea. Yeah, maybe he could be. But, I mean, I don't know if Angel Di Maria was probably thinking, oh, not again. But, yeah, he does look like he's about to burgle your house, doesn't he?
It does.
It's a very interesting look.
It is.
But I'm sure he isn't if he's listening to the airport at the moment, waiting
I'm sure
to fly
he
back,
isn't, is
feeling
he?
Good about
and
himself.
If he
not
was.
That I'm suggesting at all that the
he's a house
PSG
burglar.
Manager's a burglar. Okay.
What's that? Oh, yeah, where was that? I had one of those that was sounded like an accusation, but it wasn't. Hold on. Can I find it and summon it up at this stage? And I bet I won't be able to,
okay.
Which is absolutely brilliant. No, I couldn't find
now,
it. It'll
come
to me
talking
later.
About yesterday, Tancredi Palmieri joined us. We had a quick look at Roma-Porto, of course, the other game last night. And we were saying, we're going to get a chance to see this boy, Nicolo Zaniano. He's only, 19?
Mm.
And he scored two goals last night. But the thing I noticed, and we were chatting about this in the meeting early on, was Edin Dzeko. And just how effective still he is as a player.
I'd hope
set
we'd
both
buy him
goals
last
up.
Year. Yeah, he's a tremendous player.
Had a good chance in the first half. Mm. And you could would you have got him before Morata? You put a bid.
No, Morata was then failing.
Oh, okay.
And so was Batshuayi. So they put in a bid of 30 million, I believe, but they wanted 40 million, so they wouldn't go to that. And probably would have ended up in the Champions League if they'd signed him. But there you go. That's the way football is.
Still very effective player he is at the moment.
He is. It is interesting, though, these clubs. I get really frustrated. You hear about a club playing a 19-year-old and a 19-year-old coming off and being good. You've got to give these kids a chance. This reluctance to try them. Yeah, they're going to make mistakes, but they also, you know, could be really save you a lot of money and could be brilliant.
The one that everybody's raving about at your place is, I mean, Wigan fans can tell us about him because he's playing for them, is this boy Reece James. They think he's...
Yeah, I've seen a lot of them.
They think he's ready now. If he was at Spurs, he'd probably be playing now.
Absolutely would be. I said that, I thought that last year when I saw him. But, you know... They just—I don't know what it is. You know, you sort of prefer some managers prefer an older average player to a younger, more obviously more talented player. And I find that strange because I mean, you know, why would you think Zappa Costa's better than him? I wouldn't.
It seems strange.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Me and Jacobs here on Talk Sport. Coming up in the final hour, Tim Vickery joins us live from Rio. We'll talk a bit of Alexis Sanchez and what he feels from that end is going wrong. If they sang anything over in Chile, we'll find out.
That's a good point.
Also, a lovely tribute from Pelé to Gordon Banks. We'll be chatting about that. And it was a terrible, tragic story, of course, in the world of Brazilian football last week with the club Flamengo. And we'll be covering all matters with Tim in the next section. We'll speak to John Mullock.
Good.
He has a 200-year-old golf ball up for auction.
Good man.
So where'd you get your hands on something like that? It's not a tight list.
No.
The old tight list.
The old tight list. But we often thought it'd be great. I mean, there is a tournament, isn't there? Using
Hickory,
they
use the Hickory clubs.
All the old equipment. It'd be great if they had a round of the Ryder Cup. They had that in it. You had to use the leather ball.
Well, don't you think there should be a kind of vintage, there should be like tennis classic where they go out and they play with old wooden rackets and the old gear.
Well, so you could say the same with football.
You could go out and play with the old footballs.
Boots.
All the goalkeepers wear roll neck jumpers, look like folk singers, like one you've got on today.
Yeah, I do.
That would be great, wouldn't it? But it would be great if they just did. If
you've got Roger any other, Whittaker look on, I've got
today. In the final hour, let's do sport classic. If you think, what could we do? What other sports would lend themselves to going out wearing the old traditional stuff or whatever it is, or using the old equipment.
You want those batting gloves. Imagine facing Mark Wood at 95 miles an hour and those,
those things
green
like,
pimple gloves or whatever they were called. Yeah.
That's right. They were like they're like gardening gloves. They used to go out 90 mile an hour with gardening gloves on. So let us know. TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ. Alistair's been in touch from Texas.
Yes, I've had a complaint.
He said, I could hear Andley doodling. I could hear Andley.
Andley.
I've become Stanley Unwin.
Yeah.
I could hear Andy doodling whilst on that call with Dan Levine all the way over here in Texas.
I think it's because it was Chelsea. I do apologise. I think I've got a bit
nervous energy.
And also, I was using a new pen today. It's a bit scratchy, so I think the biro is a bit more quiet. So I do apologise.
It's your latest entry for the Royal Academy yeah. show, is it? I would imagine.
Why not? Jamie Murray is. I can't work out whether this was because you never can tell on Twitter. But I think I'm going to give Jamie the benefit of the doubt here.
Okay. Yeah.
He's hit, according to the paper, he's hit out a footballer, Aaron Ramsey, signing a £400,000 a week deal to quit Arsenal.
Has he hit out?
Well, he says
does
the tennis.
You know about?
he doesn't sound like the sort of player hits out. No. Tennis star Murray, 32, tweeted, "The game is well and truly gone." And I like to think he's being sarcastic because, come on, I mean, tennis players, like your own brother, not exactly underpaid, are they? Do you know what I mean? If you're 956th in the world, you still earn a sort of decent living in tennis. So, you know.
He's on that money for a reason, of course. We all know the reasons why. It's a free transfer. Money that would have gone to the club in transfer fees goes to the player.
Yeah, that's Arsenal's
played at
fault
Q.
for letting him go.
Well, you heard David Seaman. He was raging on breakfast with Ali this morning.
I don't understand it. I understand that you don't think a player's right for you.
Yeah.
But whoever let him sort of go unsigned, that was a very strange thing to do. You know.
Toby reminded us just now that Anthony Joshua versus Jarrell Miller and the Champions League final, both on June the 1st.
Oh, that's a good sentence.
Yeah, what about that?
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't there a big fight after the Champions League final last year? Maybe the listeners can. I seem to remember having a whole night of sport and not remembering a great deal about it.
That's going to be the whole middle of the night of sport, isn't it?
Really? Oh, yeah, of course, over in New York. So, yeah, you're going to have to, yeah. Hmm. Keep going for that one.
And aren't Newport a funny team? They lost again last night. Yeah. The disparity between their cup form and their league form is amazing. And I'm fascinated to see how they get on against City. I guarantee they don't lose 6-0.
We mentioned this to Pariaman, didn't we? We were saying that when we spoke to him on the show last week, you know, does it frustrate the manager that this goes on? But it must do, mustn't it, really? I mean, it's pretty hard to keep the players' minds off of Manchester City.
I wonder what they thought watching that. They probably thought, you know what, we're better than Chelsea. We won't lose 6-0.
Well, that's right. They'll look at it like that if they get a better result, won't they?
Now, we've talked over the past year or so about, he's a Burnley super fan. He's an amazing fella.
Be speaking to him tomorrow.
Yeah, he's called Dave Burnley.
Yeah, he's actually changed his name.
And I think his daughter is, I'm not sure actually, producer is like winding me up. Is that true what you said to me? His daughter's called Claret, apparently.
That's nice. What's wrong with that?
No, I just... Nothing if it's true, but not if it's been made to look a fool, which wouldn't be the first time.
No, that's true.
And the thing about Dave, and I think that's the reason we might be speaking to him tomorrow on Valentine's Day, is that every year he sends the club a Valentine's card.
It's lovely, that.
So it's very romantic, really. Yeah. So that's good.
Well, I think we're going to talk to him about that and the fact that he says when he finally shuffles off this mortal coil, he wants to be embalmed and then taken to the game, taken to his final... Yes.
And what did we call
match?
It?
Weekend at Burnley's.
Marvellous.
That's what we're going with, isn't it, really? Yeah, we think that might be... That's old Dave sitting there.
Yeah, would be that, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so anyway, we'll see if we can track him down and have a chat with him about that on Valentine's Day when the club get their card.
Now, the latest celebrity, and we do wish him well because it sounds like a horrible fall, but Professor Green, a guy I like, actually, but he's in hospital, he's done his neck, and but he did this thing that they... famous people do. I don't get this. Taking a selfie of yourself in hospital at your lowest moment.
But do you know why he did it?
Why did he do it?
Because he's about to go on tour. And, you know, you get artists pulling out of tours.
Oh, I
disappointing
see. So people,
people
would see that he actually
he's in a neck brace. He's badly injured. Yeah, yeah. He had a seizure, which is what happened to him.
No, horrible.
So I can understand why he's done this. I'll leap to his defence there because he wanted to say to the fans...
I'm still not a fan of it.
I'm not up the pub. I'm not watching something on the telly. You know. I really can't do this anymore. So.
I just think it's peculiar.
Do you want a hole-in-one story, Andy?
Yeah, why not?
As we're going to be talking golf balls from 200 years ago, golfer John Rourke... It's always the same. 68. Defied odds of... Well, I'll ask you what the odds were, you think. To hit two holes in one on the same round. He's got an 18 handicap. Five holes apart.
Isn't it 14 million to one or something?
Well, no, it's a bit more than that. So, it was five holes apart, apparently. Haydock Park Golf Club near Warrington. Some of the listeners may have played that one. But well done to you, John. The odds he defied were... Have another guess. You said 14 million to one.
Yeah.
It's higher. Have another guess.
Higher than that? Yeah. 25 million to one.
Have another guess.
50 million to one.
Have another guess.
100 million to one.
No, you've been silly now. 67 million to one.
Is that how you do have another guess? Yeah. As you're the host.
Yeah.
And the contestant, and then when they actually guess.
They get stupid. I just tell them they're being stupid. 67 million to one. It's almost worth the point of probably having a quid on yourself, isn't it, every time you go out and play golf?
It's true.
Because if they're the odds, that's going to be a shot when you walk into Paddy Power, isn't it? I did it, and here's the proof.
Have you ever seen This Time Next Year? It's a programme with Davina McCall, where it's a lovely programme, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was a wonderful story last night, actually, about a kid who lost his sight in the most horrible way and took up blind football. That was his ambition.
Yeah.
And the captain, I think we've interviewed him, Dave, the captain of the England blind team, worked with him and trained him. And they came back next year and is playing football. It was a really lovely, heartwarming story. Mm. But of course, I did say to them, not them, but often it's somebody who's lost, you know, they've got a lot of weight and then they're, oh, could you lose the weight? And then they come back next year.
And they've lost all the weight.
They've lost the weight. But she also does $1 million drop. It's now called a £100,000 drop.
Okay, yeah.
Which
yeah.
is on every
Times
afternoon.
Times are tight.
So I said to my wife, I was like, why don't they combine the two?
Yeah.
So if the person who's supposed to lose weight comes back on and they haven't lost weight, they could just drop through the floor.
Well, it sounds like you've
I've got it all worked
really
out.
Really heartwarming.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Time to head off to Rio then, and our man over there, of course, World Soccer's man, Tim Vickery. Hi, Tim.
Afternoon, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Good, thanks, Tim. We were quite impressed and moved, I think, by that lovely tribute from Pelé to Gordon Banks that we've all read in our papers today.
Well, they're kind of locked together in eternity, aren't they, from that game, just as Pelé and Bobby Moore are, you know, for that embrace at the end. Yeah. And it's a fabulous game, you know. I mean, it annoys me sometimes that the game is reduced, even Banks' performance is reduced to that one save. Because if you watch the game, and I've watched it many, many times, I never tire of it. It's a fabulous performance by England, a really wonderful performance of retaining the ball in you know, midday blistering heat in Mexico. But Banks, he makes a number of terrific saves. And every time he gets a decision right, when to hold, when to punch. So it's a fantastic display. If you switch the two goalkeepers, it would have been a much heavier defeat for England, I think. And, you know, I've spoken to many members of that Brazil 1970 side, and it's something which I don't think is fully realised in England. For Brazil, that's the moment when they won the World Cup, beating England, because that meant that they had a route to the final. It was much, much easier that they played Peru and Uruguay. They knew they could beat both of those sides, while England went into the other half, and England went to play Germany. And you have to wonder, you know, had Banks not gone down to a little bit of Montezuma's revenge, England wouldn't have let the 2-0 lead slip against West Germany. But anyway, it went to extra time. So that tires out the Germans. And then the Germans take the Italians to extra time. And that tires out the Italians. And if you look at the final, the first half is quite even Stevens. I think Italy actually had more shots first half than Brazil in the final. Yeah. But the second half is just a procession because Italy are gone. There was no way that Italy were going to last the 90 minutes. And all of that happened. All of that started when Brazil beat England 1-0 in that group game. Reversed the result, and it could have been reversed because England had plenty of chances.
Jeff Astle had a wonderful chance. Yeah.
Jeff Astle had a wonderful chance. Yeah. Alan Ball hit the bar. Jeff Hurst, I think, had one that he headed at the goalkeeper. It's a terrific performance from England, and you reverse the result, and the paths to the final would have been very, very different. Mm. And Brazil fully expected to meet England again in the final. I think had that happened, I still can't see England living with them in the final. But I think over the 90 minutes, it would have been a better game than the one that Brazil had against Italy.
Obviously, we remember the save and show it often. But is that the case in Brazil? When the news broke yesterday, was the save shown again on Brazilian TV?
That's the headline. The goalkeeper who made the greatest save in history has passed on.
Wow.
That's really how he's seen through Brazilian eyes. And for a goalkeeper, what a wonderful way to be remembered. And I love the story. I can't remember if it's Alan Mullery.
Yes,
or Bobby Moore, both of whom had fantastic games in that game. And a lot of people talk about Moore, and Moore hit the heights. Of incredible heights in that game. But Mullery man-marked Pelé, and it's by far the best and by far the cleanest marking job that Pelé had in that tournament. Mullery had a terrific game as well. And I think it was Mullery who said to Banks afterwards, well, you know, next time try and hold it, which is brilliant.
He got a two-word answer, apparently.
Gritty English humour, even in those circumstances.
You can never compare eras, but often people, you know, they ask you, what was your favourite team and blah, blah, blah. And I always say Brazil 70. I've still never seen a team gave me more pleasure or played better. And it is, you wouldn't know, but you just speculate how you think they might go today, that sort of team, playing that way.
Well, I think certainly 58. Now, 58 is the only time they've won it in Europe. And if you were to go man for man, 58 are clearly superior to 70, especially in defence. That was the only England game, bizarrely, because it's the closest game they had. It's the only game when Brazil kept a clean sheet in that tournament. They were a little bit. The goalkeeper, I think, is very, very poor. They were improvising at centre back, and the coach didn't trust his centre back, so he put a defensive midfielder there. It was all a little bit improvised in defence. I actually don't think Brazil 70 would have won in Europe. I think that their defensive liabilities may have been found out in Europe. So I would go with 58, but of the two, 70 has a great advantage that you can't take away from it.
Television,
it's the one that was seen all over the world, and
in
58
colour.
Wasn't.
In
yeah,
colour.
Of course, that's true. Yeah. And now on a terrible story from last week, the 10 teenage players who died in that dormitory fire, the Flamengo players. What has happened subsequently? What has been said over in Brazil, in Rio?
Well, a tragedy like this, it goes through different emotional stages. You know, the first one is just a humanitarian tragedy of these 10, you know, they're between 14 and 17, and with a head full of dreams. One of them, the goalkeeper, Christian Ismerio, had already been called up, 15, had already been called up for Brazil at under 17 level. And everyone, he's the one that I'd heard of before the incident, because everyone was saying that this is a phenomenon on the way. So first you go through those horrible, heartbreaking stories. Then as time goes on, you start pointing the finger, because there is no such thing indoors as an accidental fire. You know, for this to happen, things in I think many more than one thing has to go wrong. And here you get into all kinds of Brazilian improvisation, and you see one of the heartbreaking aspects of this is the facility that caught fire was about to be disused. It was about to be closed down in the next few days, and the players moved to better facilities. But how on earth it looks as if an air conditioning unit had caught fire. And how on earth is that not earthed for that not to happen? How on earth is there only one exit? How on earth is the place still operational? when the local council have been there and have fined them 31 times for not having all of their documentation up to scratch. This isn't just a Flamengo problem, and this is a problem all over Brazil. In fact, just a couple of days ago, another club in Rio, Bangu, a very historical club, there was a similar incident at their training ground. There are three taken to hospital. Luckily, no one seriously. In São Paulo last night, São Paulo got a big game today. Their players weren't allowed to sleep at their normal facilities because safety experiments are finding problems there. You look all around and you can see corners being cut, and you can't get away with that kind of thing forever. You know, one day the bill hits home, and the bill in this case is alarmingly large because it's a humanitarian tragedy. This has affected me more than the Chapecoense-Air disaster a couple of years ago. And I lost a mate on that, and I had other journalistic colleagues that I knew die. But this one, it got to me more. I think it cuts even deeper for me because it's such a horrible way to die. For people who were just starting, you know, and kids really with a head full of dreams, it shouldn't have happened. The emotional tone now has changing. It becomes pointing the finger at finding out who is responsible. The game that was going to be have taken place on Saturday, Flamengo against Fluminense in the Maracanã, instead takes place tomorrow night. I'll be there. I'm very interested to see the emotional tone of the occasion.
Tim, thank you. We'll catch you with you next week.
As ever.
Look forward to it. Cheers.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
I mentioned the other day, something strange has happened to my phone, and I'm just being inundated with spam and junk mail, which normally used to get filtered, but I don't quite know what's happened. Most of it is introducing me to the delights.
Sometimes when you go abroad, you come back and it can happen.
Yeah, maybe it was that. Well, I mean, most of it is being introduced to the delights of the ladies of Russia and indeed Asia. For some reason.
Shame we didn't have it last summer.
Yeah. The other thing is, this is a new one. This is the company called Joint FLX who've said to me, cheesy bread, a new fat loss breakfast. It doesn't sound like something if you eat quite a lot of you're going to lose weight.
Cheesy bread doesn't feel like a fat loss item.
I don't think, you know, I really do need to lose some weight. I'll have some cheesy bread. So whoever this company is, they've lost the plot.
Oh dear.
So anyway, right. Any boffins out there, your advice gratefully received. Anyway, we move on to the world of antique golf equipment.
Yes, golf and memorabilia.
My eye was taken by this couple of lines in the Sun. A leather golf ball, nearly 200 years old and stuffed with feathers, sold for £5,000 £5,000 at auction in Church Stretton in Shropshire.
A lot of money.
And the man that sold it joins us now from Mullock's Auctions. It's John Mullock. Good afternoon, John.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Wow, what about that fight? What was the expectation? What was you expected to sell it for?
Well, I mean, we did have a guide of $3,000 to $5,000 on it. Right. But what makes they're called featheries basically special is the fact that it did have the name of the maker, which dated back to a very famous golf ball making family. To the early 1800s.
Wow. So who was making the golf balls then?
Well, basically in those days you had two areas that made golf balls. One would be in the sort of Edinburgh, which would be the Musselburgh, Leith area, and then obviously the more well-known area, if excuse that, is the St Andrews area, which is basically the home of golf. And this was a family called Robertson. And there, I think it was probably be their son who was making golf balls in the sort of the 1850s, who really came to the fore with quality golf balls. Now, he always stamped his name on the ball with Alan, because his name was Alan Robertson, right. And you can understand why. When you start adding up the number of letters in Robertson, you're going to be putting a lot on the ball.
That's true.
It's a good thing. They look a bit like, I've just had a look here on my computer, they look a bit like mini baseballs. They've got a similar construction, haven't they, to a baseball?
Yeah, I mean, the amazing thing is, I mean, what have you got? You've got a piece of leather that goes around the middle, and you've got a cap on the one pole and a little cap on the other pole. But interestingly, those who may or may not know, a feathery golf ball, if you made sort of six in a day, you were having a good throughput.
Wow, really?
and it was based on having a top hat full of goose feathers. And you would wet them, and then you would ply the trade and put them into this little spherical object, sew it up, and then when it dried, they are rock hard.
Ah. how far can you hit? Say you took a big berth or a modern club, and you had a go.
You'd probably smash it to bits. It probably wouldn't be a great idea.
Not a great idea, is it, really?
Yeah.
Well, it would be interesting. You'd probably see a cloud of feathers.
Yeah, it'd be quite amusing.
Like
really.
Plucking a chicken.
So, what clubs would they use? Hickory shaft clubs with these?
Well, it was nothing really. Were very elegant, slim necks, beautiful clubs. Like the sort of the Chippendale chairs, but you know, the Chippendale in the golf club market. Mm. And when they had featheries, because they were long and elegant, they cope quite well. And as far as distance, and again, I think there was one feathery sold, and I'm sure the wind was behind it, it was downhill and everything was in its favour. And I think they drove it about 250, nearly 300 yards.
Wow.
So,
wow.
But quite really, in reality, you're probably, you know, down in the sort of 180 yards, something like that, 150, 180. So it's just an amazing... I mean, you can imagine, I mean, this was in the days when really the aristocracy played golf because they could afford it and they could afford the golf balls. Mm. And then when they came into producing the rubber golf balls, the gutta percha, and all of a sudden that opened the floodgates to the mere mortals, like possibly you and I, could suddenly take up the game of golf and enjoy it.
And these, I take it, John, these come up, they're pretty rare, are they? Don't come up very often for auction.
Seriously rare. Because you can imagine they're made of leather. Hmm. Don't forget, in Scotland it does tend to rain a bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, they would get soggy and then they'd explode. So it's very, very rare. You know, they are exceptionally rare, and especially when you've got a name on it.
Brilliant. Look, we're going to have to leave it there. We're out of time, but good to talk to you, John. We appreciate it. Thanks very much.
Great to talk to you, and I appreciate your call.
No problem. John Mullock there from Mullock's Auctioneers. £5,000. I'm looking at a story, though, from 2004, and this one was sold for £24,000.
It was
probably an older one and in better condition, but they come up rarely, and when they do, they go for a lot of money. I'll buy you one for your birthday, Andy.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
There we are. Thomas Tuchel doesn't sue me for suggesting he's a burglar. I think he knew. I think he'll take it in the spirit it was meant.
Really. I wish he would.
Yeah. Imagine that. Tuchel versus Hawks. It was clearly a joke, Tom. For goodness sake. Stop dressing like one. I won't say things like that then. But it's a great look, isn't it? It's a tremendous look. Yeah.
Anyway, enjoy the match tonight.
Thank you very much. I know you don't mean that.
I do.
But, we'll see. Let's hope football's the winner. Or actually, let's hope Tottenham are the winners. We'll see you tomorrow, pouring over that and a lot more besides.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.